I mean, that already that's like sort of routine. So what's unusual about this?
Well, for instance, we have our leader of the group, Dr. Wang, yes. who is Asian and is a genius. Calculate large sums in his head.
But that's it.
Right. His head. He weighs about 120. His head weighs about 60 pounds.
Yes, yes. He walks around in a wheelchair.
Yeah, wheelchair.
Yes.
Tragic accident. Jukano,
yes.
Who you love.
I love Jukano. Fires lava out of his wrist.
He fires lava, uses all the powers of a Jewish faith and the volcano together. As one, uses anger, and he wears a one-piece unitard, pretty much. And,
it's a pink. It's blue. It's nice.
It's blue.
Nice.
Yeah.
It has Star of David on, of course.
Of course.
And the fastest man alive?
Fasto. He's just really fast.
He's
just
a white guy?
No, shockingly.
No.
No. He's the African-American.
Well, you have to the power of racial stereotypes in order to have
He embraces
power.
Him, yeah. He's normally not like that. His normal guy, his name is Landon K. Dutton. He's a woman's studies professor.
Right.
So he knows the ladies very well, but he also knows speed.
Oh, my goodness.
He loves the ladies.
All right. And then the gentleman is made of lead?
That's nonstop. He's an Indian convenience store clerk who can no longer be shot because he's been shot about 175
times.
You
like that, Rick? He owns a convenience store, but they come in and treat him so much, he's now actually made of lead.
He's made of lead.
So they can't hurt him anymore.
No, he's impervious to bullets and everything else, but not to harsh words.
And
that's what breaks him. He's sensitive.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. And then there's the one guy. This guy I haven't got my head around yet. The guy with the vacuum.
LFA? Well, he's kind of my favorite character.
It's not actually a vacuum. It's a leaf blower.
It's a leaf blower. It's a leaf blower 3000. It's the deadliest weapon in all the universe. It's powered by a... I don't want to say a jalapeno chili because that's way too mild for the power that this thing possesses, but it's some sort of secret chili.
A mustard, capsaicin, something.
Yes, it's something like that, yeah.
And the reason I'm very excited about Menorah Team, last time Adam was up here, I begged him to be a voice.
Right.
He dutifully said, fine, see you next week.
Right.
And I became a voice. Yeah, tell me about my character.
You tell me people like who are begging me to be on the show. I'm like, yeah, what are you doing next week?
I came right over. Boom. Yeah. I read the script. Like I said, okay, now tell me what I need to do. He goes, that's it. You're done.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
Listen, I know talent when I see it.
Oh, my God.
I don't have to direct a lot. I just let it go and just, you know, let's roll the dice. Let's play. That's how I live my life.
Please, let me read it again just in case you don't like the way I read it the first time. So now I am a sort of Vincent Price-looking gentleman.
Yes, you are in charge of this super, super top-secret...
cruise liner.
It's an air crew. It's in an airplane, basically, and it's a class beyond first class, which I believe exists. I believe in a lot of conspiracy theories, and I believe that does exist.
The class beyond first class.
There is definitely. Yes. Those planes are too big. I haven't really done the math or the research, but I believe there is a class beyond first class where I'm not allowed.
Somewhere on the plane.
Somewhere on the plane.
Well, that is where if you find me,
right,
you'll find that place.
Exactly. And you're in charge of it, and you're in charge of letting people, you're basically keeping people like me out, and, you know, you're serving those people like Bill Gates and the like lobster omelets and jacuzzis and things of that nature.
And the hookers from wherever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And my name is?
You don't have a name because you're very mysterious.
Right.
You're basically the commandant of the plane in charge of tremendous class.
But I have a description.
Yes, you're very sinister.
I thought it had a name. I thought it was the servant of the world or whatever it was the master of
tremendous class.
Tremendous class.
Yes.
Master of tremendous
you
class.
You basically spend part of your time in the episode kicking people out of tremendous class.
So anyway, I can't wait to stand up. That's on in 2 weeks.
That's on in 2 weeks.
Okay,
yeah.
Menorah Team that airs midnight Sunday night following.
It's usually Aqua Teen.
Yeah.
Everybody loves Aqua Teen. One of the greatest shows of all time on one of the greatest networks of all time. Adult Swim.
Cartoon Network.
Yeah.
And then finally you have a website. It's Stop Pete, just like the name Pete.
Yeah, StopPete.com. It's basically this guy that I'm doing comedy with, and he makes these instructional tapes. And the one on the site right now is about martial arts, if you want to check it out. He ends up just hurting himself. You have to stop Pete. Yeah, you really got to stop this dude. So if you want to check it out, it's pretty entertaining. He's going to really end up hurting himself, which is great because I'll keep funding him until he ends up really hurting himself.
And then finally, Adam, who is on the Gary Busey reality show.
Right, I'm with Busey.
I'm with Busey.
That's right.
You survived that year. Was it a year you spent with him? Or
Yeah. It was a year of intense, compressed time. Yeah, 13 episodes. Yeah, of high adventures. It's like, I always described it as an insane, like, travel show. That was always my pitch.
Is he okay now? I heard he was, you had contact with him anymore?
I haven't talked to him in a while. I'm sure he's fine. I always see him, like, popping up on TV and doing, like, some stuff. So, I mean, you know, that guy...
It's like a VH1 special or something.
Oh, really?
Like some sort of weight loss or weight training or.
Weight training.
No, it's some sort of get in shape.
Oh, okay.
It's not The Biggest Loser, but it's that kind of show where they have teams that get in shape. I forget the name of the thing.
Wow, teams that get in shape.
Yeah, and then Busey he did good. All right, take some calls, shall we? Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
I'm the master of superior class. We will
tremendous.
Here is a tremendous class. Ashley.
Yeah.
What's happening? You're on with Adam De La Pena on Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191. What's happening?
My boyfriend, a long time ago, probably halfway through our relationship, he started touching me in the middle of the night. And I woke up on one of these occasions, and I was basically wondering what he was doing, so I didn't, move or anything like that. And eventually I woke up. Whenever he started basically
Hey, Ashley, we got the picture here. What's the question?
Okay, I enjoy it, and I just want to know if I'm weird or if something's wrong with him or me.
That you like him start initiating sex while you're asleep?
As we called it, I guess, which is probably not a good name, molesting me in the middle of the night.
Were you ever molested growing up? The whole freeze thing you mentioned, you described, sort of sounds awfully... reminiscent of that.
I wasn't.
Kind of
I used to have bad dreams about it because my mom scared me when I was a little kid, always pounding it in my mind,
Oh, really?
If anything ever happens to you, if anything ever, does this, right. Anybody ever does that, do this.
Right.
And
right.
I was always scared as a little kid, to go to my girlfriend's house for sleepovers because she'd always tell me, it could be anybody. It could be somebody's dad. It could be blah, blah, blah.
God bless your mom.
Armed
you with good information. I thought just Loveline would scare people about this.
I used to have bad dreams about this, but that's the closest it's ever.
And now you kind of act it out with your boyfriend. It's kind of fascinating. But yeah, nothing wrong with this. The most disturbing part about it is that he's asleep. You guys aren't really having a sexual relationship. You're having a relationship with a somnolent.
Regularly, where we're both awake and during the day or whenever.
You have regular sex in addition.
In the shower, it doesn't matter.
All right.
So he's completely asleep during this, though?
I start out completely asleep.
Oh, you do. Is he asleep?
Is he asleep?
Yes. No.
No.
Okay, it's fine.
Yes
you're
and
fine,
no.
Actually. Relax.
No.
You're good. It's good times, okay?
Get some night vision goggles.
There you go. Listen to Adam. This is Catherine. Catherine?
Hi.
Hey, what's happening? You're on Loveline.
Okay, it seems a little bit strange, but, I'm noticing recently when I start having sexual relationships with my boyfriend, I get wet, I turn into a slip and slide.
You're a slip and slide. Only at the time, but at the appropriate time.
Yeah. Well, even just, just fooling around a little bit. Now, this never happened before. It was normal, not too much. Now it's I don't want to be loose.
Have you gotten on the birth control pill since you've met with this guy?
No, I haven't.
Are you on any medications or anything now?
No, right now we're using just condoms and we're sticking to the non-lubricated ones.
I'm deeming this not a problem. I'm deeming this...
Wait a minute, though. Do you eat a lot of bananas? Have you increased that?
No, I haven't.
Okay, that probably can't do it either. I'm just curious about that. Yeah, it's not a problem.
I'm declaring you completely into your boyfriend, and that's why this is happening. So it's fine.
Really? And
yes.
I've heard that you could perhaps take, antihistamines, and it would help.
Antihistamines will help, and and histamine help, and progesterone helps. But why do you want to do that?
Well, because now it's just I don't know, I guess if I can't feel anything almost to where that's he has no problem with it. It's more something for me.
I like that the boyfriend up to this point might have been listening to this and be like, yeah, guys. Yeah.
Whoa,
turn off. Power outage. Very sorry. Something went wrong.
Catherine, is there an anatomical problem here?
I don't think so. It's never happened before with...
No. Adam, maybe you can ask her in a... you're a magician.
Right.
Ask him in some way that this...
Come on, you know what he means.
Oh, no.
I like how that's solved it. Come on.
He's fine. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're not fine right now, right? He's like, whoa.
If he's listening, he's not fine. I would say work with it. Don't try to change it. Okay? Seriously.
Okay.
We're joking around a bit, but this is your normal physiology. Don't mess with it, all right?
Okay, thank you.
Nature is awesome. Just remember that.
Nature is.
If you go away with anything, nature is awesome.
Oh, geez. This is Pavel. Pavel's one of our return callers. You may have fun with him.
All right.
All right, Pavel. Here we go. What's happening, buddy?
Yeah, you can call me Paul if you want.
Paul?
Paul?
Yeah.
So, what's...
Okay, we'll call you Paul.
If that's easier for you.
That's easier for me.
Yeah, that's much easier. Yeah, thank you, man. Appreciate that. Okay, let us do you a solid right back. What's happening?
Yeah, I have a question to Dr. Drew.
Yes, sir.
What happens to nutrients that are removed from the blood and the kidneys?
Paul usually comes in and asks something like, what's the one common element in proteins?
Oh, wow.
Things like that.
Wow. Man of science.
Yes, a man of science. I think he's just practicing his English mostly.
All right. That's fair.
And
I have another question after that.
Why don't you ask me, give me the duel. Let me see if I can answer them quickly without having to listen much more to you. Anyway, to ask me, go ahead.
Oh, what was that again?
Ask me the second question, Paul.
Okay, I was just wondering, where did you learn the, how did you learn all this stuff, and then can you answer all the questions?
Medical school, and then residency, and then postgraduate training. Okay?
Well, did you, like, graduate from somewhere?
What's that?
How many schools have you been to?
Well, I went to Amherst College, and I went to University of Southern California School of Medicine, and then I did a residency after that, and then I did some postgraduate work after that. To answer your question about the kidney, doesn't really have nutrients pulled out. Mm. And to the extent that there are larger molecules that are missed by the... that get through the nephron, get through the collecting system, the anterior tubule can collect a lot of that back, and so does the tubule that follows the concentrating system that will also pull in some of the molecules that your body needs and actually balances your sodium, potassium, your acid base, all those good things.
So you say.
So I say. This is Ginger.
Oh, hey.
Hey there, what's happening?
What's happening?
I had a question. I was wondering,
is the proximal tubule I meant. What's that?
Yeah, is it bad to give a blowjob with cinnamon Altoids?
Might give them a little urethral irritation, but that's about it.
It's not going to
help anything. Right. Not going to do anything.
Not going to hurt.
Not going to hurt. Not going to help.
Yeah, because I was trying other things out, like ice and stuff, you know?
Hey, Ginger. No.
Yeah?
Stop.
Okay.
Stop it. Just the guy, the guy's already out of control, out of his head, over the top that you're there.
Right.
Okay?
Okay.
He's not going to be like, whoa. Is that cinnamon?
Is that it?
Yeah.
See, would you add a little cinnamon to that?
Do I smell the some fresh sprigs of cinnamon? No. This is uncalled for.
What's going on, Jen? Do you have a boyfriend?
Actually, no. More like friends with benefits. I don't believe in relationships.
How come?
They're boring, and then the people get clingy and needy, and it's like, ugh. It's like just not my thing to do.
Good times. So why are you worrying about the cinnamon and all that stuff?
You gotta have something to worry about. It's not a relationship.
Guess so.
You have like a list of other things you worry about.
You don't get attached to people that you get close to physically?
No, I don't. People tend to get attached to me because I guess I don't know. They like weird things that I do, and I'm all like, well, you know, I'm just not into like the relationship thing because I'm young and I just want to experience like a lot, and then people get too attached.
Be careful. I know you're intellectually it looks good on paper, but so does communism.
Yeah, it's a dangerous road, cinnamon and handing out things like that.
Matt, what's happening, buddy?
I just have a problem with just not having, just two things. I have premature ejaculation, and I also just can't get attached to girls. Like, I'll eat out a girl, and I feel bad for it.
It'd be so eloquent, so poetic. Yeah. I mean, romantic. I could imagine that most girls be completely into this. with that last girl, Ginger, she'd be perfect for you, Matt. She's, she wouldn't feel bad at all if you took off right afterwards. Do you ever have relationships with these girls?
Well, I do sometimes, but it's just hard for me to. I mean, the problem is just I just get embarrassed about having premature ejaculation sometimes, you know? It's I'll be eating out a girl, and all of a sudden I'll just blow a load.
Why don't you get going again, do a second time?
Because, I don't know, I just go limp after that.
Yeah, but 30 minutes later, you'll probably be okay again, right?
Yeah, and then, I don't know if it's, like, really anyway. Weird, but I have another problem that is going to sound really, like, retarded, but I don't know, like, I get gas when I get horny.
Matt, you're just a roll of pathology here. So, none of these things do I see any immediate sort of answer to. Is there a question? You're sort of stating things. I get gas. I feel bad.
Right.
Is there something you want to change?
Oh, yeah. I just don't know how to get
it. I'm going to try to answer your questions. The gas thing is all undigested carbohydrates, and different people get gas from different things. So you have to sort of explore what foods your bacteria and your colon are producing into bad-smelling things.
But I only get gas when I'm horny, though. Like, I've actually farted while a girl was giving me head.
And eliminate those things from your diet. Listen to what I'm saying.
Take the inner journey and listen.
By the way, I just vomited just thinking about that scene. And then also in terms of the feeling bad about the girls, is there something about your childhood? Did you have a stable family when you grew up?
I kind of did.
What do you mean you kind of
did? I don't know. It's just I got touched while I was sleeping.
Oh, so it's a bogus call. All right. Good times.
Shocking.
You sounded effed up, so it was good. So you almost got
it. The gas thing was brilliant, though. It really hooked me.
Susie,
I was like, wow.
What's happening, Susie?
Yes. Hi. I just have a question. Like, my boyfriend, he has a lot of... He's not circumcised. So when I give him a blowjob, I don't know, it's like too much skin. And if I pull it down, he says it hurts. I mean, is that normal? Mm-hmm.
That's a challenge.
A what?
A challenge.
Yeah.
Oh.
What do you mean it's too much skin? He likes whatever you're doing, so what do you mean too much skin?
That, like, the foreskin, it's like I try to pull it down because, I mean, sometimes I can't, like, the penis, I can't see it, you know, because of the skin, the actual skin. So when I pull it down, it's, like, too much. And if I pull it way too much, halfway, he's like, oh, no, it hurts.
Right. Did you try, like one-third?
What?
Like one-third of the way? Not like half.
Well, no.
Probably the same, huh? It's not a game of inches. Yeah.
Yards.
Is that normal, though?
Susie, hang on. Just stop asking, is that normal? Let's try to solve the problem. It's obviously not normal, and it's something we can try to help you with, perhaps. Can he get the head of the penis out at all, or is he constricted at the top there where you just can't get it through?
Well, I can see the head, like, a little bit.
Can he get it? Oh, Susie.
Yeah.
What do you do for a living, Susie?
Nurse.
No. Arby's.
Oh,
Susie, what do you do for a living?
Nurse at Arby's.
I'm a waitress.
Where?
Where?
What kind of place?
Tony Roma?
There you go.
Wow.
Perfect. Perfect.
Wow.
Perfect.
Psych.
Yeah. Okay. Here's the deal. Sometimes men can get a narrowing of the skin, the foreskin. Mm-hmm. And it's very difficult and painful to get the head of the penis out. And I think that's what you're describing, Susie. In fact, that's an indication for a circumcision because that problem's going to get worse and worse with time. So if there's going to – first of all, don't force things. And if there's going to be any change, it's going to have to be with surgical intervention probably because the more you push it, force it out, the more it tears, the more narrow it gets. Taylor, what's happening there, my dear?
Hello.
Hi there. What's happening?
I told my dad how I felt about his drinking.
Good.
And both my parents have been alcoholics. Like, my mom's an alcoholic since I was, like, a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, my dad just, like, started being an alcoholic.
Uh-huh.
And I think that it's, like, really, really taking him because, like, he's just, like, started doing pot and stuff.
Well, but God bless you for standing up and telling him. What'd he say to that?
He just, like, told me that I was wrong and that, like, he loves me and that, like, I was just, like, overreacting and stuff.
Mm-hmm. That's sad that he couldn't see it from your perspective. Would you consider going to something called Alateen?
I have been there.
Great. Do you have a sponsor there?
No.
Why don't you get yourself a sponsor and start working some steps yourself?
Well, I can't go there anymore because my mom, like, she was, like, an alcoholic, and then, like, she stopped for a while, so I started seeing her again, and, like, I went there, and then, like, she just, like, started drinking again, so now I can't be around her. But
well,
like,
why can't you go to Alateen?
Because, like, I went there with my, like, my mom would take me there.
She go to AA and you go to Alateen?
Yeah.
We'll still find a way to get back to Alateen. Sometimes they'll come pick you up. Well, I don't want to get you. You're 11 years old, my goodness. Uh-huh. But maybe there's some way you could keep, you know, can you get a therapist of your own, somebody to help you?
No.
At school, or how about a school counselor, something like that?
I've talked to a school counselor, but she doesn't help much.
Well, why don't you keep talking to somebody like that. Taylor, you sound great. You're doing all the right things. I'm sorry your dad can't hear you, and I'm sorry your parents are alcoholics. That's not your fault. You have nothing to do with the fact that they have that gene or why they drink. The fact that you've gone to Alateen is a great sign. The fact that you're aware of what's going on here and you have such great insight and you have the fortitude to stand up and actually tell somebody how you're feeling, that's a great, great sign. But do not let go of the battle right now. Find yourself somebody to attach to, like a school counselor, and get back to Alateen if you possibly can. Find a way.
It's pretty amazing that a kid who, like, you know,
11.
Yeah, that's pretty, you know, I'd be like, well, I think I'm going to have a talk with my dad about not taking the garbage out because, you know, that's too much of a load for me.
Oh, right. As opposed to telling about alcoholic fear.
Listen, I'm 11. You need to listen to me.
And at least, you know, I got to hand it to that for at least being able to say, look, I love you and I really care about you and I would never do that to you even though he doesn't see what he's doing.
Right,
so
right.
That's a pretty good deal. So it's not a total meltdown disaster, and mom's trying to get sober. She'd been in the program a little bit. Also a good sign for Taylor. But, man, it's hard to when the kid becomes the parent. It's not good for the kid. Not good. Adam De La Pena is the guest. You know him from Minora Team. Do you do the voices of Minora Team or all of them?
I do three main characters.
I do
the voice of Evil, who is the White Shadow.
Right, the White Shadow.
Although my voice is recognized because I stick my head in a drum to do that.
Nice.
And then I do the voice of Neil, who eventually becomes Jukano.
I thought you did Jukano, yes.
Yeah. And, of course, everybody's favorite, racist Frankenstein. He's the original, you know, he's a Frankenstein monster, but
and that is
mind of a racist.
Midnight on Cartoon Network.
It's only allowed on midnight.
Sunday nights, and you can hear me doing the Master of Tremendous Class.
Right.
Super Tremendous Class in 2 weeks.
Yes. Yeah.
2 weeks from tonight. All right. The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. We're going to take a little break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Love Line. The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. Joining us in the studio tonight is Adam De La Pena. He's got a website, Stop Pete. And I think if you see that website, you agree that Pete needs to be stopped.
StopPete.com.
And really what I'm very excited about is Minora Team, and particularly Jukano.
Right.
Let's be fair.
Yeah, Jukano is very powerful.
I can't get any of the rest of the guys' names. They can't stay with me. But I do the Leaf Blower 3000 does stay with me.
Yeah, I'll have his easy. Racist Frankenstein's easy.
Yeah,
White Shadow's easy. But they're the villains. They're the voice of evil.
Yeah, it's the guys that Jukano, such a genius name. And also the Master of Tremendous Class, which is something I'll be playing on the Minora Team. Midnight, Sunday nights. Cartoon Network, Adult Swim. Let's take Jake. Jake, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, dude?
You tell us, buddy.
So here's the deal. I've been straight pretty much my whole life, and recently started sleeping with a guy.
Hold on a second. What is straight pretty much my whole life, man? That's not usually how people.
It's like
preface that.
Well, Monday through Thursday.
Yeah, most of my life.
Okay. Most Thursday late afternoon. Right. Late afternoon, it turns right.
Exactly.
Well, he's another superhero.
You need
a gay...
A gay guy Monday, but only like Monday through Thursday around about 11.
But he has to harness all the powers of stereotype.
Right. Maybe he's like a cowboy.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Cowboy with a six-shooter.
Chaps or something.
Yeah, rides the range. And by range, I mean boulevard.
All right, Jake, so what's happening?
Yes, Jake?
So I recently started sleeping with a guy for the first time. And which I've never done before, and I don't think I'm gay. I'm not attracted to men in general. It's just this guy, and we just started to become friends, and then I just started becoming attracted to him. We started sleeping together, and it's weird. I can't even explain it. And I was just curious if I can be straight and just have an infatuation with like one guy, or
men tend not to do that. Women do that more than men. There is a category of I guess we call it sexual orientation now, which is called men who have sex with men who are otherwise straight.
That's not a category? They need a better name for that category.
Well, they just call it men who have sex with men because there's a lot of men who transmit HIV that swear they're not gay.
Uh-huh.
They have relationships with heterosexual. They're not unsatisfied with them. They just here and there stray off. I sort of call that confused more than anything. Do you have any history of sexual abuse or anything of that sort in your past?
No sexual abuse, but a friend of mine brought this up, and maybe he's right, and I wanted to ask you. My father passed away about a year and a half ago, and he was like, maybe, you know, you're trying to replace your dad, or maybe blah, 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 and I was just curious if that...
No, that's not a pattern that I typically see. I mean, if your dad had died violent death when you were three or something, you witnessed it, but he died, you're an adult, you saw your dad died. I mean, that's traumatic, but... People usually guys go on a sexual rampage with women then to try to manage their feelings. I mean, they get off into porn, they do all kinds of things like that. To start to act out with men, if you're not gay, I just wonder if you are gay and just sort of come to terms with that.
And just sort of come in,
is that possible?
I mean, it's possible. I'm not going to say it's not. I'm not attracted to any other guys. I don't know.
Well, here's the deal, Jake. I don't get the sense that you're you don't sound like a trauma survivor. You don't sound upset by this. You sound like you're willing to kind of see where it goes, and maybe you are, maybe you're not, then time will tell.
That's the amazing thing about Jake, is like he doesn't really seem like he's like any of these, it's like,
well, guys,
man, you know, then like on Thursday, I started sleeping with this guy, and just like, oh, really?
I've met a couple guys like this who are sort of, I'm convinced, are biologically gay. They're just born gay. Mm-hmm. They've been living straight, they're kind of into that, but then all of a sudden they go the gay direction, and it's a little more satisfying for them, and that's just the way they're wired up, and no trauma, no nothing, and they seem very comfortable with it. And one guy I knew quite well, he would just go, he was actually married. He was like, well, it's just, what are you going to do? That's just the way it was.
This guy's like, Jake has like nerves of steel. He's so like, no big deal. Anyway, moving on.
Just sleeping with a dude. What are you going to do?
Yeah, what dude?
What do you do for a living? A student or something?
I'm an artist, and I
wonder if maybe I've always wanted to be like open-minded and blah 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 and so.
Yeah, but
like
to be this this open-minded is emotionally open more than open-minded. That's a little bit different thing. Open-mindedness. I've dealt with a lot of men who try to be open-minded, and then when they go under the sway of someone who says you're not being open-minded, you should try guys, they are traumatized by it, they're freaked out about it. In your case, you're just like, oh, you're okay about it, so there you go. We'll see. I don't know what to say, except we'll see, buddy. It's fine. Whatever it is, I'll put it, you're gonna be fine. Way it goes. All right, just use condoms.
Cool.
Please use condoms. Please
That's your parting words for everything.
Please use condoms. Don't get pregnant. And this day, thank God Jake's gonna be out of that pool anyway. Gavin.
Yeah.
Hey, Gavin, what's happening?
Hey, not much. Got a question for you, Doc.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Is there a such thing as over-masturbation?
Yeah.
Okay.
And?
I like guys like Gavin because they sound exactly like I think Gavin's going to sound. And, like, he's like, what's up? Let's do this. All right, question one, numero uno. Over-masturbation, yay or nay?
Yay.
Sup, question number two.
So, Gavin, you're an over-masturbator, huh?
I assume I am.
Well, here's the sort of the way you judge that. There is such a thing as guys that just have huge, huge sex drives, but they're pretty unusual. You normally got to wonder, is this somebody who's manic, bipolar manic? Mm-hmm. Number two, is this a trauma survivor who's sort of acting out sexually and becoming a sexual addict? Usually that will include... you know, porn and internet and some contact with the external world, prostitutes, that kind of thing, and off it goes. Or if you were a drug addict, try not to do drugs. Sometimes you'll see this kind of thing go on for a while.
Or like a happy guy. Wait, no, that's not the
no. That's not the
so,
one.
Okay, that's okay. Sorry.
So, Gavin, you fit any of those?
None of those really.
Do you have a job?
I do about 9 times a day, easily. And if I have a girlfriend, I still masturbate about 7 to 9 times a day, easily.
I think if.
And no.
Do you work? Do you work?
Yeah, I work, yeah.
How do you have time for that?
Yeah.
You know what?
Baggy pants.
Schedule.
Baggy pants. And cargo pants.
No trauma growing up, huh?
No, no trauma.
Huh. Well, we'll see.
Like,
I mean, maybe you're...
Sex, I don't have, sometimes when I have sex, I don't have a complete, you know... I don't know if I can say this on the radio. I got a complete hard-on sometimes.
Whoa.
It really depends.
Whoa.
I mean, because you're so depleted, you've got no chi left.
Is that what it is?
Well, your chi's in the pamper.
And sometimes it takes me about 20 minutes or half an hour just to get off.
All right. Well, now you're bragging.
No, I'm just saying. I mean, that's not the problem. I mean,
I like the guy, too. I'm just saying.
That's from over-masturbation.
Yes, yes. I would say yes. Well,
what do you think it's from? Working too hard?
Nine times a day, Gavin.
You're managing your stock portfolio too much. That's what it's from.
Why don't you, speak of your stock, maybe you store up a little bit. Maybe knock down to three times a day and see what happens. That is pretty compulsive, buddy.
You got to set goals, buddy.
What?
Does that any like long-term effects on you in life?
Well, if it becomes an addiction, yeah, it can become a preoccupation that takes you away from other things and has consequences. Yeah, it can.
Set like small goals, like, you know, 9. Go for 7 one day. Maybe surprise yourself. Go for a 6.
Well, you know how they say it makes you go blind. So I'm just making sure.
Yes, you get non-arteritic anterior ischemic optic neuropathy. Yes, that's what you're in for. No. You're fine. But I do believe it seems to be too excessive to be merely just you in a normal context. Right. It makes me suspect it's going to mean something else, either addiction or something.
Well, what do you do? I just got to know, what do you do? Like, what's for a living. What's the general ballpark thing for what you do for a living?
Have you said what state I'm from yet?
Idaho.
Okay, well, now I can't really tell you what I do. Because
come on. General.
You work for the government? I mean, what do you do? You work for the state?
Yeah, kind of.
CEO.
I wouldn't say CEO, but some of those letters are in that. Can't really tell you what I do.
All right, well, now I lost interest.
All right, good times. I'm sure
he said something, and then people in Idaho are like, I know that dude.
I'm sure 24-year-old Gavin is on top of everyone's mind. I guarantee you. Shannon.
Hey, how are you doing?
What's happening?
What's up?
I went to the beach a couple of days ago, and I think I got an infection. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. So I kind of, like, I want to know if I should just kind of wait it out, or should I go to the doctor about it?
Where is it?
I think it's a vaginal infection.
Oh, well, it hurts when you pee.
Well, it doesn't really hurt when I pee. I'm just, like, really itchy, and I had sex tonight, and it was really, like, raw and, like,
Yes, definitely. And it has nothing to do with going on the beach, I suspect. Right. You might want to try some over-the-counter yeast creams in the meantime, but still, you cannot assume it's a yeast infection, but it probably is.
And you can't assume that it's a beach.
It's not the beach.
Yeah.
It's not the beach.
If you said lake, then I would be like, yes, lake, sure, yes, but not beach. Come on.
I don't think it's ever happened before. That's
I know.
You've never had a yeast infection?
Well, no, I never, ever had.
That's probably what this is. But again, because you have a new sexual part and all this stuff, you got to worry that there may be something else going on. Could be other kinds of vaginal infections. And for that matter, gonorrhea and chlamydia will present with vaginal irritation also sometimes. So get it checked out, but try the yeast medicines. Just go to the pharmacy, pick up a yeast medicine right now, and then go see someone if it persists. Okay?
And everybody stop blaming the beach.
Yeah, really.
The beach is
for all your problems. Right. Lily.
Hi.
Hey, Lily, what's happening? You're on with Adam De La Pena.
Yeah, I'm going to see.
Wow, big fan. Yeah, uh-huh. Go ahead, keep going.
Menorah team, midnight
raps. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so
I'm going to see an ex-boyfriend, and I haven't seen him in a year. And I've pretty much only been with girls since him, and he's really well endowed. And every time I have sex with him, I have like a lot of like discomfort afterwards, like bladder infections, just like kind of pain. And I just
Have you done with her?
Yeah.
Okay.
No. Yeah, interesting. Okay.
It's going to be way worse now that I haven't been with a guy for a year. And B, if there's any way to fix that at all, like lube or like what I do about it.
Do you get urine infections?
Bladder infections and just general overall discomfort, like itchiness kind of.
The beach.
Do you get the itchiness after taking the antibiotics for the urine infection?
Oh, no, not after the antibiotics. It's just, after having sex with them, I just feel like it was too much or something. Like, I'm kind of in pain, like they're ripping or something. I don't know.
Nice, lovely. And, yes, definitely lube. Are you using any kind of birth control?
Condoms, I mean.
Condoms. Make sure those are well lubricated. And then you may want to, you know, there's some women that take antibiotics every time they have sex. You may want to talk to your doctor about having an antibiotic on hand and just take it prophylactically.
Oh, wow. Okay. So this is something that can be worked on. It's not just, like, permanent every time.
No, absolutely. Well, it can be worked on by trying to find a position that's comfortable and trying to get him. You sort of control the tempo, that sort of thing. And, you know, it's the direct trauma to the urethra that pushes the bacteria up into the bladder.
Right.
You can limit that and limit the amount of time and that kind of thing, lots of lube. And, again, you set the rhythm and the depth and that kind of thing, not him. And then talk to your doctor about antibiotic, nonetheless, if you do get any discomfort afterwards, any pain with
and
pain
it,
with
it will it be worse since I haven't been with a guy for a year?
It's probably not going to make a big difference. Not going to make a big difference, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, Lee, good luck.
Bye.
Yeah. Adam hated that call. He hated it. Okay.
Caller. I hate that caller.
Jucano, is he well endowed?
Yeah. Oh, man, look at him. Well, that unitard holds doesn't have any surprises. Right. Look at him.
Holy
Christ. That's shading, buddy.
And El Jefe, come on.
Yeah.
Oh, but the guy in the wheelchair, I don't know.
Well, you know.
Yeah. All right, anyway, it's Menorah Team. It's Sunday nights at midnight on Cartoon Network. Also, StopPete.com. Adam De La Pena and I will be right back. It is Loveline. The phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. Adam De La Pena in here, Menorah Team. If somebody were to tune in to Adult Swim tonight at midnight, right. Menorah Team happens to be on, what would they be in for?
They'd be in for just pretty much a lot of nonsense.
What would happen tonight?
Tonight we have a special guest villain called the Gold Digger.
Nice.
Who,
is it a woman?
It's a woman who robs banks, and she's super fast, maybe even faster than fast.
Anybody famous through the voice?
Elizabeth Payne does the voice of the Gold Digger.
Ah, nice.
Known her
famous opera singer, yes.
She's pretty amazing.
Yes.
Very, very amazing
rangy.
Voice.
Rangy.
Yeah, rangy.
Good. Okay. Well, that's the Menorah Team. And then on, if we go to Stop Pete.
You're going to see my friend Pete Mustachio, basically his martial arts demos and stuff like that. And it was so my friend Andy S., who doesn't really want to be associated with
Andy
the
site.
Andy S. He doesn't want to be associated with the site because Pete's a lunatic. But you'll see. You'll see what kind of nonsense this guy is into.
Fair enough. This is Annie.
Hi, Dr. Drew.
Annie, what's happening, my dear?
Well, first, is it minority or menorah like a Jewish menorah?
It's like... Which one? Wait, what?
Like menorah, like
a lot of people go, wait, what?
Like menorah, it's... like Hanukkah, or like minority?
No, it's like minority.
Describe minority. The premise. Hold on a second. It's Menorah Team.
Right. So they're a group of minority superheroes.
See?
Okay.
American guy, an Asian guy, a Jew guy.
But guess what? Next season, Minorah Team.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Good.
The question was...
you got to watch it. Promise me right now you'll watch it.
I'm going to watch it.
Tonight at midnight, Andy. Come on.
Time is now. Get ready. Do you like things that are awesome?
Yeah, I do.
Well, then,
step
up.
And I'm Jewish, so I'm going to like that.
You will love it.
Jucano is the central character.
He's your man.
He harnesses all the power of the Jewish faith and a volcano.
Yeah, you can't go wrong.
All in one guy.
All right, I'm going to watch that in an hour. My question is, I get a lot of bladder infections, and my friend told me that you're...
Great segue, by the way.
Thanks.
I like that. Good job.
Could be a new character.
New character.
Well, there's no good segue. Anyway.
I'm going to watch Minority now. Bladder infections. I got a lot of them.
So?
All right.
Okay,
go ahead.
Well, my friend told me that your urethra can actually be in your, like, vaginal opening.
As opposed to where? Where would it otherwise be?
Well,
inner ear.
Like, it's not in your vagina, is it?
Yeah, pretty much.
It's actually inside?
A little. Well, some women,
it's not mobile.
In some women, it can be sort of prominently forward, but it can be pretty much in, you know, yeah. I mean, it can be closed up inside a little
bit. So it is the same hole?
It's inside it a little bit. Let me show you.
Where does your friend work? Just so I know.
She's in nursing school.
Well, I got some news for her. I don't know if she's going to graduate.
She's going to have to put a few catheters in before she figures this one out. But yes, it's not necessarily way up inside, right. But in some women it can be, you know...
Where's the heart?
A little bit.
So that's why you get bladder infections when you have sex?
Right, because even if it's not directly in the line of fire, so to speak, it can be the pubic bones can kind of hit together there and give some trauma to that. It's in this slightly different position, different women, but it's basically right where the action is.
4 centimeters from the heart.
Right.
Technically.
Do you get urine infections?
Stop getting them.
Well, you don't. Only some women get that, and some women get it all the time. Some women get it some of the time. Some women get it only because of the way the guy is sort of configured or what he's doing to them. You want to not traumatize the area. You want to be not too vigorous with that area.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And you heard our last caller, the guy was big and was sort of irritating that area. And sometimes, it's not always infection. Sometimes it's just irritation. The urethra actually gets irritated from all that activity. And, you know. It's not a good thing necessarily, okay? Annie? Danny's gone.
She's like lost interest.
Okay.
Got my enough. Question answered. Done.
Amanda, she's running off to see a minority team, I believe. She's
yeah.
TiVo.
Yeah, TiVo.
Hi, Amanda.
Hi.
What's happening?
What's happening, Amanda?
I guess I kind of have, it's like a like, weird thing. I kind of feel like I'm the guy. Like, I kind of pursue, in my case, like, I kind of pursue the guys that would not, and I mean, I'm attractive, I think, and I guess other people tell me I'm attractive, but I feel like I try to pursue them when they don't want me. Like, I like the bad boys, I guess you would say, but then after, like, we hook up or have sex, like, I don't want to talk to them anymore, so I feel
good.
Like...
Well, that's good. That's protective. You at least don't get obsessed about them and try to have relationships with guys that are not open for that. At least you're a little bit realistic about it. And you're right in that sort of 18 to 22-year-old window when most women like the bad guy. Hopefully you'll get over this.
But then I feel like all my friends are having all these, like, oh, great relationships, and I've never had an orgasm. And, I mean, I haven't been with very many people, but I feel like I'm
Hold on a second. What does the orgasm and the great relationship have to do with one another?
Well, because all my girlfriends are like, oh, we have great sex, all these orgasms. Like, I'm like, what am I missing out on? Like,
why don't you work on having a relationship and a guy who actually is attentive to you and your feelings and tell him, kind of work this out with him? You need to got to work it out with him.
Because I have had one of those, and he really hurt me, and I guess that's why.
How long ago was that?
Well, we were together from when I was 18 to, like, 6 months ago, I guess.
Months ago.
Well, so this is all recent. I cheated on him, but he...
I don't know.
So that's why I feel like I don't know if I can actually have a relationship ever.
You can. Don't be ridiculous. Of course
it's
you
like,
can.
You know, it's, I know it seems like long, but it's like 6 months. I thought it was like years of this stuff. Like,
right.
I've gone through a lot of drifters. I usually date drifters, and they leave me.
Not only that, but look,
bounty hunters.
That relationship that you finally cheated on was probably one that wasn't working anyway. And it, you know, you're 18, 19, you don't know how to end a relationship, and eventually somebody just does something that ends it, and you're the one. It's fine.
Now look. I feel like I am. I don't know. I don't think that I'm using the guys, but like whenever they come around and like whatever, we either hook up or even if we just like kiss, and then they start calling me, I'm like, ew, I don't want to talk to you.
They're fine, Amanda. They're cool.
They're going to be okay. There's no support group for these guys. They're all meeting. Trust me, they're like, all right.
They're fine.
Yeah.
You need to start dating some more. Hold back on the sex a little bit. Give some nice guys a chance.
I don't know if I can do.
Well, have some. You meet with some nice guys. You won't be so sexually driven towards them.
Right. It's only the bad guys you're driven towards.
Is that what you mean?
The what kind of guys?
Is that what you mean? Like ugly guys?
No, I mean like nice guys who actually will treat you right, who want to be with you, and don't worry about it. They won't be overwhelmed either.
Guys you can destroy.
Guys you can you rip to shreds, tear their hearts out.
That's what I don't want, though.
I know you don't want to, but you
we jest. We kid.
They're big boys. They can handle themselves too. Start relating more. Start building relationships.
Yeah, no more drifters or bounty hunters. No more bad guys.
Just striving for bad guys is just about arousal and excitement and all stuff. That's not going to be a satisfying road for you. Think in terms of people you want to just spend time with and see where that goes.
Well, and I kind of feel like I self-destruct myself in that way. Like, I pick the boys that I know that I'm not going to have a relationship.
I know, but I'm hoping it's just because you're coming off a relationship that's kind of traumatized you, and we can talk you out of that and get going with something a little more substantial. Giselle.
Yes?
Hey, what's happening there?
Okay, my question is that, like, okay, me and my, like, ex-boyfriend, we still mess around and stuff, and he knows that I don't want to have sex. And he's still like, oh, I won't put it in you. I'll just put it around you and stuff. And I'm like, what the hell?
The answer is no.
Oh, put it around you.
You kidding?
What does that mean?
Yeah. I got really pissed off. I was like, you know, I just feel like you're pressuring me to do something.
Giselle, we're behind you.
Yeah, what's
the problem
here?
You're absolutely right. He is pressuring you, and he's pushing the limits. Are you kidding?
I like that it's like, listen, I'm just going to put it around. You know what? All right. I'm going to see how this plays out.
How close can I get exactly? All right, just a little closer. Just put the tip in. Are you kidding? Yeah. The guy's an idiot. But no, Giselle, be angry.
I know. I was angry, but, like, the thing is, like that pushes me away from him since we're not going out and stuff, and I'm just wondering, should I just, like, leave him? Like, seriously, honestly, just be like, forget you then.
Seriously, honestly? Yes. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Adam De La Peña is the guest. I'm Dr. Drew. This is Loveline, and we'll be back after this. Everybody's love line, 1-800-LOVE-191. Adam De La Pena from Menorah Team is in here. StopPete.com, Man Show Crankhanger. What crankhangers did you do?
I did all of them. Yeah, I was there the whole time.
Were you there when Adam and I did one?
Yes.
You were in the room that day?
Yeah.
That was the funniest experience I ever had.
Yeah.
These guys sit, Adam and I just take prank phone calls.
Right.
And these guys sit with, like, dry erase boards and are holding stuff up at us.
For hours.
For hours.
For hours on end.
And I started doing some sort of funky talk.
I'm telling you.
There, that was it. Yeah. And these guys are hiding behind their dry erase boards, cracking up. It was the funniest thing I ever saw. They crouch down behind them and start laughing.
That's the greatest way to make a living. Like messing with people. You're like, hey, I paid. Yeah. 4 hours of this nonsense.
Oh, my God. All right, let's take a call here. This is Laura. What's happening, Laura?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, we're good. What's happening?
Yeah, positive, right?
Yeah. Okay, well, my question is, my boyfriend, I called a few weeks ago, too, about the Hannibal Lecter guy wanted to bite me. I don't know, Dr. Drew, if you remember.
Yeah, I kind of remember. I think, was that the guy Bert was up here then? At night?
Yeah.
And he called it Hannibal Lecter, I think. So, yes, go ahead.
Right. Okay, well, another issue arose with my boyfriend. Now, he has his own personal computer in his bedroom with porn magically appeared on it, and he's trying to either say it's his best friend or might be his dad. I mean, I honestly...
His dad.
What's his dad? Hold on, I'm trying to set the scene here.
This is in his...
He lives by himself?
No, he lives with his parents, but he has his personal computer in his bedroom.
And his dad comes in, breaks into his son's room, and starts looking at porn.
Did he seriously try to pin it on his dad?
He tried to say anything but him.
Oh, that porn? That's my old man, my father. Yeah, he's a respected businessman. Yeah, porn. And really, I got to talk with him. He always comes in here.
No, you know, and I think, honestly, I'm not intimidated by it, but there was... I'm talking about, like, 200-something pictures of girls doing anything.
All right. Well, there you go. So what's the question?
By the way, if he has that, he's got hard drive stored somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Adam and I are doing the math. Don't worry.
200? Come on. That's nothing.
Don't worry. We got the picture.
Amateur hour.
Okay. So my question is, what's a respectable way to approach him and try to get the truth out of him?
Here's a respectable way. I know you're doing porn. It's okay with me.
I know you and your father are looking at porn together. That's not okay with me.
I know you look at porn, and that's okay with me. Now, if it's not okay with you,
It's fine for me now, but I feel like it might be an issue later, and I just don't want a relationship to be at risk over some blonde, naked, floozy chick on his computer.
Why would it make an issue? And I'm just playing devil's advocate here for a second. Why would it make an issue for your relationship?
Now I feel good about myself, but certain little things may happen where I start to feel a little self-conscious.
Okay, why don't you tell him that? Tell him that this is troublesome to me, and here's why. Right. See, one of the most significantly problematic things for young males, and young females too, for a different reason, but for young men is to see things from a woman's perspective.
Right.
They just don't. They can't. Right. And you can bring them to that point, and you're going to have to do a little bit of work to get them there. And by the same token, women need to understand, too, where the men are at or not at.
Right.
And give them a little talking to.
I just don't want to, like, wake up with half of my thigh off because he likes to bite me, and then he's having fun with...
Well, look, the biting part is far more weird than the porn part. The whole picture is not good, I got to tell you.
Here's the other thing that can concern you, that you just found the porn so easily. You know, he's like, he should have been more clever at hiding it, or oh, giant folder marked porn. Don't look at that, darling, please.
I think the point you're making is that's what's peaking. That's the tip of the iceberg.
Right.
That's the part you found.
That's a screensaver, and every file's labeled that.
God only knows what else is in there.
His emails, Screwmaster 9000.
Ingrid, what's happening there?
Hey, how are you?
We're good. What's up?
Not much. Just listening to you guys. And
awesome.
God, I haven't heard you guys in years. I just happened to put you guys on the radio and just listening. Right.
There we are.
I want to talk some sense into these girls, you know, and tell them.
Please.
It's good to be back, though, isn't it?
Perspective.
It's good to be back, right?
Is.
Together, yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Celebration time.
Let's get. In fact, we need. I'm looking for a topic tonight. You set the agenda for us, Ingrid. Here we go. Go.
Oh, did I?
No, okay. Do it now.
Do it now. Make it awesome.
Okay. Topic, okay. Right. What comes to my head is what this girl just brought up with the guy in the porn.
Yeah.
Honey, mm-hmm. how old is she?
She was 25.
25.
Yeah.
Okay, sweetie, it is entirely normal for guys to want to look at porn. And you know what? It may seem weird to you, but I say, you know, join in. Have some fun. You may like it.
But a lot of girls, it's funny, women have a diversity of response to visual sexual images. Some of them get aroused and even get a little dry from it. A lot of women get aroused and sort of nothing. And then another group gets sort of turned off and angry and irritable and feel all kinds of funky reactions.
You'd be surprised if, like, a girl I was dating or something comes in and I have porn on my computer and I turn around and I'm like, hey, dive in. Chances are, get ready to dive into the porn.
It seemed to me that she wasn't really used to watching porn or just kind of threw her off.
I think she just had to deal with that guy's weird. Guy's biting her and stuff. Give me another topic. What else can we do from female perspective, Ingrid? Give me something else.
Female perspective.
Right? Isn't that what you wanted to bring to the discussion?
Help us help everybody.
Bring a women's perspective tonight's call.
Women's
here we go.
Perspective.
Ring in tonight?
I want to hear the more assertive women. I mean, you would hear about guys, you know, guys are doing this and guys are doing that. Girls, you got to empower yourself and jump in. I mean,
all right. I got a question.
Yes?
Ingrid, I got a question. Here's the question. Yes. Why do women read women's magazines?
Why do women read women's magazines?
Because
their self-esteem is low and because society has told them that they need to look this way and that way. And
hey, society is new crap. You and I are society. Come on, let's stop that.
Dive in.
Don't blame society, the man. We're the man. So, women read these crappy magazines that have disempowering messages about how to keep a man happy, all this crap on the front, and, you know, how to have the big... guys don't give a rat's hiney about that stuff. They don't care anything about it. Not one guy ever on earth has called one of his friends up to say, hey, dude, you ever been Ingrid last night? 8 of the 10 things on Cosmo's top 10 list. No, no way. He doesn't care.
No.
He does not
care.
She
got them all.
Yeah, who cares? And so you're sitting there, so why do you read this crap? Why don't you read stuff about how to empower, how to figure out what you want, how to get a man to actually meet your needs? Why don't you do that?
I actually don't read any of this crap, but I will admit when I was younger, maybe around 18, I used to read Cosmo every once in a while just because.
What'd it do for you? For fun?
Nothing. I think
why is that fun?
Bored. It's not fun, but it's just bored, and you look to see that maybe, in the back of your mind, you think, oh, maybe there might be some. You know, helpful information. And you have, like, the little bit of help.
And you know what women say to me?
All
they go,
it comes down to is Ingrid. Experience.
And women say, oh, I read it because it's funny. It's funny.
That's garbage.
It's not funny.
That's not why they're reading it. They're reading it because they think, oh, let me see. Maybe I can figure out something where I can read my man better.
Or you know
what
I think?
So what's your advice? What's your advice to shake it up and rattle some, you know, change here? What's going to turn it around? What are we going to dive into? What should we do?
I think women should turn it around. Bring it from a women's perspective, instead of like how to make things better for a woman.
New magazine, but I think what they do is they fantasize that whatever they're reading about is about them. That's me at the spa. That's me traveling to the Tuscany. Right. That's me giving the 8 of the 10 things to the guy. Right. That's me doing all these things.
Right.
When the relationship to reality, what she needs, are completely.
It's like a glossy Jane Austen novel.
Completely different.
With top 10 tips,
Sharon.
Yes.
Hey there. What's happening?
Hey, I just want to say to the guy that does the voices for Minority Team that I watch it all the time, and that's actually how me and my boyfriend met indirectly. The one I'm about
through
to tell
Minority
you about.
Through Minority Team?
Wow.
How's that work?
This is quite common, another Minority Team love story. I've married 20 couples in quiet backyard ceremonies because of Minority Team.
I believe it.
Yeah. Well, and who's your favorite character?
Dr. Wayne.
Dr. Wang?
Yeah, I don't do his voice. Who's your favorite character?
I know, you don't. Shadow. Is that better?
Yes.
Much better.
Okay. I like it. It's also to the guy that does Minority. Hey, you! I love your show.
I'm sorry.
Where'd you and your boyfriend meet? Just watching Minority Team? He just kind of slipped in. Saw you're watching through the window. Can I come in? Sit down.
Okay. Well, my boyfriend, we've been together. They're difficult. And I'm about to piss Ingrid off.
She wants you to dive in, so I don't think you're going to dive in. Let's see what's going to happen.
Here we go.
Let's go. Don't dive in. Get out.
We have been together for about 2 years. I met him here in California, but he lives in Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. And I've been going there. I spend about a week or two with him every, like, 3 months or so.
Right. So and, you met him in L.A.?
Yeah.
What was he doing here? Just hanging out? Drifting?
He was here with some Drifter? Friends that were on vacation.
Yeah, I'm sure.
On the beach in Venice.
Okay.
Yeah. So, anyways, things we're going fine. It's a long-distance relationship, so things are a little difficult. But now he has this weird thing where he wants to try being swingers for a while because apparently he's never been in a very strong relationship. He's always been, right, like, one-night stands and whatnot. So for some reason, I prefer to be dominant, but in this relationship, I've always been submissive, probably because he's 27 and I'm 19.
Yeesh.
Yeah, so he lives away from you, right?
Yeah.
What's he doing in Minneapolis?
He lives in Minneapolis.
Doing what?
Watching my Nora team.
Of course.
Huh? Yeah.
What's he doing there?
He's a supervisor for Singular.
Okay.
Yeah, and he wants to do stand-up comedy. That's why he is in L.A., but
bad
long comedy. Story.
That didn't work out. He went back to
supervisor's never the powerful position you think it is. Like, I'm a supervisor. I supervise people. You must respect me. I'm a middle manager.
He's 27 right. years old, and his biggest hobby is posting on the Adult Swim message boards.
Oh, wait a minute. I might know it. If this is the guy I'm thinking about, let me tell him something. Our show is awesome.
Sharon, you're kind of all over the place here.
What's the question?
Yeah, I can't get a question out of this.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay. But lately, he has had me, like, he wants me to sleep with every guy here that I get the chance to, and it's been my ex-boyfriend a lot, which ended up blowing in my face. But he hasn't slept with any women, even though he says he wants to. But I'm beginning to think that I'm just giving in to stuff that I wouldn't normally give in to. And I sort of feel bad that I don't want to do it, so I do it anyway.
What the hell are you talking about?
I have no clue.
How do you? First of all, he's away, so you don't know really what he's doing, right?
Secondly, he's encouraging you to cheat.
Exactly. See, I've always had very very overprotective boyfriends, and he's the complete opposite.
Yeah, so of course you got to go one way or the other. Never in the middle.
But it's just really hard to read him because he, like, wants me to sleep with other guys, but at the same time, you know, he...
How often do you see this guy? What? How often do you see him? This sounds like an awful relationship.
Awfully confusing.
Last time I saw him was a week in April, and I'm going back for 2 weeks next month.
Maybe he's just trying to get you to disengage from him and to date other guys and sleep with other guys so he has a reason to do the same, and you'll see each other once a year, have a nice time, and that'll be that.
Yeah, that's basically what it is right now. I'm just...
All right, well,
that's
it.
Why did you say that? That's it.
I'm
sorry.
All right, good.
Yeah,
and break it up. He lives 1,000 miles away or 2,000 miles away. Forget it. Ima.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
We're good.
How are you?
Well, I had a question because, okay, when I'm with my boyfriend, everything is... it's okay, but when I have sex with him, like, the sex is great. You know, we have foreplay, everything is fine. But when I climax, I get mad.
Interesting.
At him?
I get mad. I don't know.
Just in general.
I guess I turn into a guy. You know how guys don't like to cuddle or anything.
So you become irritable.
I push him off.
All right. And then are you okay after that?
It takes like 5 minutes, but I want to know why I get like that.
But do you just push him off? Do you yell, get out of here?
Well, I push him away. We're like on the bed or whatever, and I kind of push him off, and this is like, I can't be around him. I don't know. I get mad at him.
So you did get mad at him.
Yeah.
Not just in general.
Yeah, this would take a little bit of figuring, Ima. There's not a typical pattern to this, except to say that...
I think it's weird. Like, I don't know why.
It is weird.
I talked to a couple of my friends about it, and they're like, well, everybody has, you know, the different sexual things going on, you know?
That is true.
They never heard of it, and I've never heard of it either, but...
I've heard of it.
You heard of that?
Yeah. And some of it is a feeling of being out of control or being brought to a place you don't want to be brought to by someone that sort of feels like they're it sort of feels like you're being exploited. You know, you're like you're out of control, and this guy's, you know, taking over your body and bringing you to this thing. And sometimes it's just biological reaction. Sometimes some women just get irritable afterwards, though that's not typically the case. So it's something about.
It's not even. It's not.
No, I get it. I get it. And right. I don't think I can't give you a specific reason for it. You'd probably have to do a little bit of therapy to figure this out.
Oh, my God.
It's not something that is like, oh, my God, this is huge pathology. But it's something that could be a problem for you. And, again, it's and maybe it's just that you're young and maybe it's just this guy. Is it just with this one guy or has it always been this way?
Well, kind of, yeah. Only been with two people.
And it's always been with them?
Yeah, and those are the only two people I've been with. And
are these guys you care about?
Yeah, I cared about them a lot.
Are they good guys?
No, it was a guy and a girl.
Ooh, so here we go. Mm. One was a guy, one was a girl?
Yeah.
One was a guy, one was a girl?
Yeah.
Were you sexually abused growing up?
Yeah.
All right, well, that's where this comes from. And did that person make you
mad?
Did that person make you climax when you were a kid and you were abused?
Kind of, I guess. You know, you're too young to know.
Yeah.
Well, that's the anger.
Well, all right, so that's where you do need some work with the semen.
Is that things that get better, or is it just...
No, it's probably gonna impair your ability to have relationships your whole life if you don't do something about it.
That's gonna mess up the other person I'm with also, right?
No, it's just gonna mess up your ability to be intimate and to choose good people and to be happy. And so why not get a little help with that, huh?
Yeah, take care of it now.
Yeah, absolutely. This now, to change gears a little bit here, is Mike. If you remember Laura who called with the Hannibal Lecter boyfriend,
right.
Who had the 250,000 downloads, of which she found 25.
Right.
This is him. This is Mike.
Oh, okay, well, yeah, this is Mike, also known as Jeffrey Dahmer. I just want to say, okay, she knows why I bite her.
Why?
Oh, okay, that's okay. When she gets
now
normal,
you're freaking me out.
Huh?
Now you're freaking me out, Mike, but go ahead.
No, come on. No, it's because, when she gives me oil, she uses a little bit of teeth. And so, you know, I just make fun of her, so I bite her on the arm, just not hard or nothing, just to make fun of her. And then the
whole thing. As I recall, he said she told me you leave marks.
Leave marks?
Yeah, with your teeth.
Yeah, it's just bull.
All right, so what about
she's dramatic about these things.
She's distorted. All right. And how about the downloads?
The downloads? Okay, yeah, really, I don't know where the hell.
I didn't hear what he said, but go ahead. You got a million downloads, and?
Okay, well, it's because the thing is, I know I paid $2,000 for the computer. I'm not going to be downloading stuff and, you know, wasting my hard drive or whatever because I know that thing puts viruses on my computer. I paid $2,000 for that thing. I'm not going to be doing anything like that, you know?
So what's the point?
Well, I'm just saying, you know, because I
just calling her a feud. Like, no, it's not
true. You're saying you have no porn, no downloads.
He's saying the computer costs too much money for me.
So you wouldn't do it. Only your dad would do that.
I know. I was just making the excuse.
Fair enough. Yeah. All right, let's keep going here. Danielle, what's happening, Danielle?
Hi. My boyfriend, like, he has a mental condition. Like, he should be taking medication for it. And he was kind of just trying to ignore it. And he's like, yeah, as long as I'm happy, it'll go away. He kind of...
What is the condition?
I'm not sure. He's never really gotten help. Like, he went to therapy a while ago. Mm. And he went for, like, a month, and he just stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And recently, he blacks out, and he doesn't remember what happens while he blacks out. And recently, one of our friends was over, and she was asleep, and he grabbed her breast, and he didn't remember it. And a couple days later, like, it stirred up a whole bunch of other stuff. Like, he's done stuff like that in the past, and, like, for, like, 6 years straight, he did stuff like that. Like, when he was, like, between 6 and 12, and, like, he would do stuff like that, like, to his sister, and he wouldn't remember it, and then, like...
What's the question?
Well, I don't know what to do. Like, he won't get help, and, like, he just keeps saying,
then break up with him. Break up with him. If he won't get help, and he's having very serious problems that are becoming disruptive, and he won't do anything to change that, then get out of there.
Well, it's
very,
like,
simple.
Well, we kind of have a baby and stuff, like...
Oh, for God's sakes.
It's kind of...
Who knows if he's really blacking out, or if he's just using that as an excuse, by the way.
Well, like, he was 6 when he was doing stuff like that, like, you know, like...
I'm just saying he may have learned to say I blacked out, and people started excusing it because of that. I don't know. That's not a typical kind of a blackout behavior.
Yeah.
It's typical sort of a manipulative behavior that people will find any kind of reason to excuse.
Yeah.
But, be that as it may, this sounds like a horrible situation, and you've got to find ways, maybe with other family members, other friends, to leverage him into getting appropriate treatment. And this blacking out, I mean, this could even be a seizure phenomenon. Who knows? He needs to be appropriately diagnosed by a psychiatrist and then take his treatment. Another Danielle. Danielle?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey,
What's happening?
What's happening?
You're on with Adam De La Pena from Menorah Team.
Hello. I just wanted to know, like, what are the major symptoms of anxiety? Like, I think I've had it for about 6 years.
Anxiety is a symptom. What do you mean? Like, what are the manifestations?
Well, because, like, I've talked to a doctor, and they kind of try to confuse it with depression, and I don't think it's depression.
Depression and anxiety often go together, and anxiety often causes depression, and by the same token, depression causes anxiety. Anxiety just means, that you know the reaction you get when you're afraid of something?
Yeah.
That's what your body does, except there's nothing there to be afraid of. It's just that part of your nervous system is turned on in response to being sort of emotionally out of control.
Yeah, it's like that constant reminder in my stomach, but it really affects, like, the way I sleep and the way I eat. Like, it started about 6 years ago, like, when I was in a relationship, and it tends to always happen if I'm in a relationship and something goes wrong, and, like, there's an argument, we don't talk. It'll affect the way I sleep. I don't ever feel hungry. It's just like that constant reminder in my stomach, and it doesn't go away.
Well, that's anxiety. And anxiety can break down into panic attacks or be associated with panic attacks sometimes.
I think I've had a couple of those before.
Where you feel like you're dying. You feel like you're dissociating out of your body, or you can't breathe, or you're having a heart attack.
Right, a lot of people think it's a heart attack.
And people come into doctors all the time with all kinds of physical complaints that really are related to anxiety and or depression. So it's hard to know, Danielle, how much of this is depression that then breaks through as anxiety.
I don't think it's depression.
Well, 23-year-olds don't, when they feel depressed, the depression doesn't manifest as sadness, typically, though it can. It may manifest as all those symptoms you're describing, a sudden difficulty concentrating, trouble sleeping, trouble eating, trouble with grades. And even then, sometimes antidepressant medications treat anxiety. So it's something that you need to kind of follow a skilled person's recommendations for.
Yeah, was there something called just like anti-anxiety meds?
You have to be very careful with those because the classic, sort of the specifically anti-anxiety medications, they're called the benzodiazepine medications, benzodiazepines, are highly addictive, highly, highly, highly. And even if you're not an addict and you get put on them for a long period of time, they can still become difficult to get off and your anxiety can get worse when you come off. Safer, in fact, is to get an antidepressant medication, see if you get that to work. There are other anti-agitation medications like Seroquel, Risperidol, things like that that can be of help also. But you need to be in the hands of somebody who knows how to assess these things properly.
Is there something you can do to kind of mellow it out when it gets like really bad?
I just gave you a whole list of things that need to be done. But it's not up to you. It's up to you going to a caretaker who can assess this, make a proper diagnosis.
I'm just not really big in, medication.
We're still speculating on your diagnosis. Anxiety is a symptom.
Right.
It's not necessarily. Yes, you may have something called generalized anxiety disorder, which is a diagnosis. But anxiety may be a symptom of multiple other psychiatric conditions.
But you're not going to put on like a mellow album and solve it. You know?
No. Though there is some data that exercising regularly, listening to classical music, doing self-care, all that kind of stuff, paying attention to that will help things quite a bit. So,
like my kung fu practice.
The kung fu practicing. Yes. And check out stoppete.com if you want to get some details about that.
That's
where you were going. Oh, it's karate.
That's karate.
Beg your pardon. And Menorah Team, Adam De La Pena. The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. We'll be right back. There we go. It's Love Line, 1-800-LOVE-191. The brains behind Menorah Team in here tonight, Adam De La Pena. Yep. Also the voice of The White Shadow and Jew Kano. And what are the two characters you do?
I do Neil. The young Jew Kano. I do The White Shadow, the voice of evil, and of course, Racist Frankenstein. And I do with my other two buddies that created the show, Pete Girardi and Todd James.
And in 2 weeks, I'll be doing the Master of Tremendous Class.
Yes, that's right.
Master.
The Caretaker.
Tremendous class. The Caretaker. That's what the name is. Julia, what's happening?
Hi.
Hi there.
I've been with my boyfriend for about a year now. And in the beginning last year, because I'm on the pill, I've been on the pill for a really long time, we stopped using a condom. Or rather, before stopping using a condom, we went and got tested to make sure that we can. And then, so we stopped using a condom, and he comes inside me, and after a couple of months, basically, maybe a little longer, maybe like 3 or 4 months, it started to smell, like, I started getting really bad odor down there at a point
all,
where, like...
All the time or just after you finished having sex?
All the time, like...
Okay.
24/7 throughout the day and everything. It just,
where is your accent from?
Russia.
Russia, okay.
Yeah,
that's cool.
How long did you describe it, like, 24/7?
I know.
No, but, like... Where, like...
24/7 stank.
No,
around the clock.
I'm walking around and I can smell it, but...
Okay, got right. it,
yeah.
got it.
But usually 24/7 is, like, used to describe something, like, good. Like, yeah, you open it 24/7. All right, yeah, cool. I'm going to cut, yeah. All right, go ahead.
And basically, I know we both got tested, so we know we don't have anything, and I've been to my gyno before, and my gyno says that everything is fine.
Hold on, hold on. Have you been to the gynecologist since the smell began?
Not with the current boyfriend. It has happened with a previous long-term boyfriend.
Okay, so you have an infection now, and you need to get checked for that. You either have something called trichomonas or a bacterial vaginosis. That's typically what causes the bad smell. And the kind of really constant bad smell is more likely to be trichomonas than anything else, and that's something easily treated with an antibiotic.
So, and what does it happen from?
It's something that he could harbor in his penis and not know it. It's just one of those things. So it could be something that isn't even from him. It could just be getting from your colon to your vagina.
You never know. But it's, you know, you can take care of it. How awesome is that?
So, but what if it recurs?
It may. Sometimes they recur. And sometimes, depending on what the cause of this is, there's just a cream you can take, a vaginal cream that you use regularly that takes care of it.
Okay, so what's it called again?
It's a vaginitis, it's called. Bacterial vaginitis or trichomonas. Go see the doctor again, okay?
Okay.
Easily taken care of. Any bad smells, go.
And see, if I called into some place and they're like, I don't know what it is, and then you're like, well, here's what you do. Done. Not
right,
like what they say.
Huh?
I don't know. I'd be like, oh, no. But if somebody says, here's what you do. Drink some water with some salt, and I'd be like, yeah, great.
But not our callers. Our callers.
Good night's sleep. No problem. No, they want to know more.
And not only that, they're like, I'm not into salty water. What am I supposed to do?
I'm not going to go to the doctor. Forget it.
Justin.
Hey.
What's up, dude?
Not much, man. How are you?
Good.
All right. So I just graduated college, and I got a girlfriend who is a few years younger than me. And she's still going there, and I'm moving about 400 miles away, and I was just wondering if you guys had any tips for, like, maintaining a long-distance relationship.
Oof.
What's your degree in?
American Studies.
Well, I was going to say, you know, if it was like a copter pilot, you'd be cool, but American Studies now.
And she's at the same school still?
Yeah.
Where are you moving to?
L.A.
What is she like? How does she have, like, a year there, or what? How long does she have to go at that
she's
school?
She's got another few years there, so.
Ooh, 400 miles.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out, was she at Stanford or something? Where'd you go to school?
Berkeley.
Mm-hmm.
Close. I almost got it.
Mm.
It's tough, boy. You could do it, but, boy, I don't know. A lot more technologies now. There's the iChats. You can have a video phone. I mean, commit yourself to spending time together on a regular and structured basis.
Yeah.
If you don't have the money to do that and you're not really committed, I mean, this is going to be a long time you guys are going to be trying to do this.
If you really want to do it, dude, you can do it.
I normally don't recommend people do it going from high school to college.
Right.
Because those relationships are supposed to end.
Right. They're listen, we got to see each over the summer, man. Oh, I promise I'll see you over the summer.
Every weekend I'll be over there.
We're going to be best friends forever.
But this is, this is something that you're in college, you're going to graduate school now. What are you going to do? You work or going to graduate school?
Working.
What kind of work are you doing?
Consulting.
You're going to be able to afford going up and down to San Francisco regularly?
Yeah, definitely.
All right,
the biggest,
he's like, yeah, I have a private jet.
Regularly, but not like all the time. That's the thing. Also, like, right. I mean,
she can come up there though.
Are there any? Like, can you tell me of any issues that I might face in terms, of just like psychologically, being apart this long, other than missing the person?
Yeah, you can you can grind and you can get depressed. And the real problem is that you're a young man and you're going to be sort of squandering your youth. Pining away for a relationship that's not real, that's sort of, you know, it's
you gotta
on
be involved
hold.
In it.
Yeah, it's on hold. You're not really seeing each other. I mean, if you were able to see her every weekend or even every other weekend, it's all right, that's a relationship. But every other month or something, right. You're just on hold. And that's, you know, you get depressing. And you can,
I mean, I did that
cheat,
for a while.
Things happen.
You know.
With your wife or somebody else?
Yeah, with my wife, yeah.
After, when you were 21?
Yeah. Well, no, actually, not when I was 21.
See, I could see
my secret was hypnosis.
You hypnotized her?
Yeah, I hypnotized her, yeah.
You just kept her, put her on ice or anything?
Right. Just catatonic.
I could see that. So I'll tell you, on hold, like I said, at least she's not aware of it, though.
Right, and I had somebody watch her 24-7.
And, you know, IVs.
It gets expensive, buddy. But if you have the cash, you can do it.
It does get expensive. And if you were 28 or something, I'd say, okay, fine.
Right.
You're trying to do that. But at 25 even, but 21, I don't know. So, all right, Vivian, what's happening there?
Hi. I have a boyfriend. His name is Dustin. And we've been going out for a couple of months now. And after a while, his mom wanted him to go to a camp because his brother died a long time ago, so it was a grief camp. And
what kind of camp?
A grief camp, like, to teach kids how to deal with death.
Vivian's 13. What happened to the brother?
Hmm?
What happened to the brother?
What?
Stop listening to your radio. Please turn it off immediately. Immediately.
Wait, what?
Stop turning, turn your radio off.
Okay, put it.
Wait, what?
Oh, for God's sakes.
Okay, was that the radio?
No, that was her hanging up. Angela.
Yeah?
Hi there, what's happening? You're with Adam De La Pena, 1-800-LOVE-191.
Hello?
Here you go.
Am I on the radio?
Yes, you are.
You are on the radio broadcasting to the future.
Did you call a radio station?
Yes, but you guys are both talking at the same time that I can't understand either one of you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So, one of you talked.
Okay.
Okay, so my question is, I've been going out with my boyfriend for almost... What?
Go ahead. Yeah, no, go ahead.
For almost 3 years, and we've never watched porn together once, ever, and he hides it from me, and he will not watch it with me.
Okay. All right.
And
so, I think that's kind of weird.
Okay, but... Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Your question is...
You want to watch porn with him?
Well, yeah, no, I would. My question is, like, why...
There's no problem.
You
just go, hey.
Weird?
No, go, dude, I want to watch porn with you.
And no, I do, but he won't. And he's like embarrassed or I don't know.
No. You don't say to him, what are you doing? What are you watching? I want to see what you're watching. You don't do that.
Right.
You don't intrude on my time.
Right.
You say, you put one in, you go, let's watch this.
I demand to watch porn with
you. No, you say, you watch it, you find something and you want to watch with him, you do it. That's fine.
No,
but
one night I was in his bedroom and I had it on and he came in and he like got all, he just got weird and I just turned it off.
Did you like find it? Did he know you knew where it was or?
He's
like, oh, I'm in trouble.
No, he didn't. No, it wasn't like that. But he tells me that it's my fault because when we first started going out, I was really innocent, I was a virgin, and when I found out that he watched all the porn that he did, I was kind of freaked out, and I kind of made him feel like a, you know, like there was something wrong with him for watching it.
Wow.
But that was like 3 years ago, and he can't get over it.
Well, you could have included that little detail in this.
And then I yelled at him for 3 hours about watching porn. Now he just want to watch porn with me.
Well, because it was so long ago, I figured he'd be over it.
Well, did you talk to him about it? Did you go, hey, remember a long time ago when you were watching porn and I yelled at you? It's cool.
I won't do that again.
I won't do that ever again.
No, I tell him that all the time.
You were right about the porn.
Angela, you strike me as one of these people that would all of a sudden flip out on your boyfriend. He has to walk on eggshells all the time. And all of a sudden, you know, something clicks in that bugs you, and you're going to just blast him.
No, that's really not true. If he was honest with me all the time, that would never happen.
See what I'm talking about?
Right.
That's
if he didn't do things that I didn't like, it would be cool.
The reason
but he cannot
he's
not be cool.
The reason he's not honest with you is you're a ball buster, and whenever he does something you don't like, you blast him for it. And he has to start hiding out. Now he's so busy hiding out, he doesn't know how to sort of include you in
You are indeed a ball buster.
Okay, he does try to bust his balls,
But the only time I bust his balls is when he didn't tell me the truth. And if you would have told me the truth in the first place, I wouldn't bust his balls.
That's not true. That may be
that
your perception. Your perception. Well, then you've got to reconcile that with him, because that's not his perception then. His perception is you're going to nail me every time you find something out that I do that's not, you know, that doesn't suit you in every perfect way that you need.
And you're saying, like, I will nail you every time unless you tell me the truth.
Right. If I find out you're lying,
and if you,
then I'm going to really bust your nuts.
There's going to be some trouble.
But if I find out what you're lying about is something I don't like, I'm also going to do it. So he's screwed either way. So guys start hiding.
Yeah, that's
Angela.
True.
Of course it's true. They start hiding. You give them no option but to hide. And so then when you say, "Hey, come on out of your hole," I'm ready to party. No way.
He's probably dug a tunnel under his bed, just full of like porn and food he likes and things to hide from you. Like
bunker
tunnel, right? Yeah,
there.
The bunker.
Are you kidding? Of course.
Yeah, but I found it all.
Yeah,
oh,
I know. Good. Good news for him.
I, however, believe you that you'd like to change things a little bit, but boy,
it's kind of hard for him to like.
You guys have been together since he was 16.
No. Since I was 17, and now I'm turning 20.
And how old is he?
He's turning 21.
Let me ask off the record. Is this really the relationship? Do you want this thing to keep going? I mean, you really want this relationship to keep going?
Well, I love him to death, but there's a million things that, like, you know, he doesn't do right or that bothers him.
Right. I guess
this relationship can keep going as long as he tells the truth and does what I say.
Part of you being so aggressive with him, maybe you're trying to make him into somebody he's not. And maybe this isn't what it's supposed to. Maybe, you're 19, you're supposed to go date, meet other guys, figure out what you want. And maybe this poor guy, you're trying to cram him into a mold, and it's making him hide out and be manipulative, because he's not that guy. He's not the guy you want.
Yeah.
I'm just, just try to be honest with yourself about it. Be honest with him about it, too. I'm just saying, you come off as a shrew because you're trying to stay with this thing that isn't working for you. And maybe it's not about you. Maybe it's about the coupling, and in a different setting with a different guy, you'd be much happier and much less demanding of the guy. I mean, give yourself a break. I mean, we sort of hear all that aggression, all spun, but I want to give Angel, because maybe, you're 19, maybe you haven't figured things out yet. Just kind of think about it very long and hard, okay?
Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right, thank you.
Bye. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the phone number. Here it is, Loveline. Adam De La Pena. Jucano. Jucano. I'm telling you, that's the genius comes up with things like that. Back with more Adam and more me after this. There we go. Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191. Adam De La Pena in here. Menorah team.
Yeah.
Stop, Pete. Let's get it going with Jennifer. Jennifer, what's happening there?
Yeah, I have... Like, it's really weird. I was born like this, of course, but I have an extra set of lips on my vagina.
What does that mean? You have three sets?
Pretty much, yeah. And, like, my boyfriend won't have sex with me until I, like, get it removed. And
what removed? Whoa. Get what removed?
Get my extra lip removed.
What do you mean extra? What do you describe? Describe what you've got.
Okay. I have my vagina lips, and then I have an...
The outside ones.
Yeah, and then I have an extra one. Like,
no, everybody has the inside ones. There are two sets. Everybody gets two sets. There's the menorah, the little small ones inside, and the majora, the big ones outside. And some people's little ones hang out. There's a whole extra bit of tissue that hangs out there. That's just large internal lips.
No, I'm talking about the big ones on the outside. I have an extra one. So I have three slits in my vagina.
Do you have a septum? You have something that separates, like, two holes in the vagina?
Kind of, yeah.
Okay, have you had a doctor look at that?
Yeah, I have, but, like, it gets, crusty and stuff, and I don't, like...
And what do they think that is? Well, what did they tell you that is?
Well, he just said that he said it just like sweat buildup or something. He said I wasn't cleaning it right or something, but like I clean it really good. I take like two showers a day. And
that's fine, but that's not an extra set of anything. He didn't say you have two systems. He didn't say you have extra anything. That's just you. That's just you have a little extra tissue there. That's all.
Yeah, but my boyfriend says he won't have sex with me until I remove it.
Has he ever? No, that's absurd. Has he ever seen it?
Yeah. He saw it, and we were about to have sex, and he's about to give me oral, and he said that he didn't want anything to do with that until I got it removed.
He is an ass. What is up with this guy?
I don't know. He's a really nice guy, but sometimes when he drinks, he's kind of mean.
Wow.
So.
All right. Well, what's the bigger? Maybe that's the bigger issue here with this guy. Maybe a new boyfriend. Rather than a new set of lips, a new boyfriend would be more in your future.
All right.
There was something that needed to be done medically. Your doctor would have told you that. This is normal, you know, in the spectrum of normal, okay?
All right.
My goodness. I feel sorry for Jennifer. For Marissa.
Hi, Dr. Drew.
Hey, what's happening?
Not much. I'm calling about my boyfriend.
Yeah.
He was born into a cult. Yeah.
Where? Just for comedy sake.
It started in Santa Monica and then moved up like outside of Fresno.
Bakersfield. That's where they normally end up. Fantastic. All right.
Yeah. So
probably Bakersfield telling you thanks.
If Bakersfield weren't messed up enough, he grew up in a cult out there.
Yeesh.
So he was physically and sexually abused.
Oh my God.
And so he's 34 now and has all kinds of relationship issues.
Yes.
He needs to get help, but yes. I don't really know how to help him. Is there resources for people?
Well, most people that have been victims of cults end up really chronically psychiatrically ill, and not ill in the sense that they can't function, but ill in the sense that they need chronic therapy their whole life. They need medication. They need supervision. They end up with multiple psychiatric diagnoses usually. So I think the first order of business is get them to a psychiatrist, get a proper diagnosis, and then come up with a plan. And that's the way to proceed. Okay? Nothing you can do. Just get them to the right care and get a plan and make sure he follows through on that plan. And if he comes out of the psychiatrist's office saying, I don't know what he really wanted me to do. No. Believe me, he had a plan. He or she had a plan. Find out what that plan is and help him actualize that. It will probably include some medication and regular therapy. And people can live, you know, he obviously has a stable relationship with Marissa, and he can, you know, be okay with that. Adriana?
Yeah?
You're 12?
Yeah.
What's up?
I play on the internet a lot.
You play on the internet? Okay.
And I met a guy on this game, and he said that he lives in the Bronx, and he's 16.
What game is that?
Am I allowed to say it?
Yeah.
It's a chat game. It's not MySpace or anything. It's Fantastic Four.
All right.
And you get to chat on it or something. And
So that's just the chat.
And?
And he said that we should meet up, but I said no, and then I logged out. But he knows that I'm going to New York the 24th of June. And
hey, Adriana. It's a big town. I'm not sure he's going to come find you.
Yeah, stay away.
It's a big town, my dear.
I know, it's just that I'm scared because my grandma lives in the Bronx, and I'm just freaked out about it. And I feel stupid that, like I gave him my name. Like, I made up a fake name, but, like...
So he really doesn't have...
Does he have your full name?
No.
Oh, okay.
And does he know where your grandma...
It just scared me, and I just...
Yeah, I mean...
Does he know where your grandmother lives?
No, I hope not.
Can you tell your mother and father about this?
Well, I just live with my dad.
Can you... where's your mom?
I don't know.
Oof, what happened to her?
They got divorced a little bit after my 10th birthday.
Yeah.
And, I don't know.
Is she an addict or something?
I don't think so. I haven't seen her in over 2 years, I think.
That's very strange behavior for a mom, I gotta tell you.
I know. My friends are like, usually the dad leaves.
Well, when a mom abandons a child, it suggests severe impairments, and addiction is the most common reason. Something else has to take over the normal set of priorities biologically that the brain sets, and that's what drugs and alcohol do. Anyway, do not worry about this guy. Just cut him off. Don't have more contact with him. Take him off all your friend lists and everything, and he's not going to be able to find you. He doesn't have your name. He won't have access to your computer. Bronx is a huge town.
Yeah.
New York City is massive.
Right.
He ain't going to find you. He doesn't even know what you look like, okay?
Okay.
It's not like he's going to be on the street and find you. And do tell your dad about this. Tell your dad also about it. Come on. It's
Yeah, you gotta tell your dad, freaky out as your little kid. Somebody's like, hey, meet up with you in the Bronx. No way. Get out of here.
Rachel, real quick.
Hi, I got with my boyfriend like probably 4 years ago, right? I've known him for a long time because we just through other people, you know. And he went to prison, and we like hooked up the day before he got busted, okay? And then like he kept calling me, and like we ended up writing letters for like a year, and he was just like, "I love you," blah blah blah. And I clung to it, you know, like, I didn't even know him. We got to know each other through the letters, but does that mean I have issues? I mean, come on.
Yeah, come on. Yeah, I'd say, yeah. Well, just a wild guess. But could it ever work out? We don't know what he's in jail for. Maybe it was a white-collar crime or something.
Yeah, I like what it was like, come on.
Yeah, I don't know, Rachel. I you know, if there's a good guy, if he rehabilitates, gets out of prison, if it's a drug possession, if he gets going a 12-step, it can work out. But it's a little suspect that it's something that you would be that desperate to cling to that you don't have other things going on in your life. Phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. Adam Dale Opinion. Dr. Drew will be right back. Love Line, Adam De La Pena, thank you very much for coming in here tonight.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate
everyone,
it.
Everyone, awesome. Right now, run to your televisions, Menorah Team, Adult Swim, Cartoon Network. Look for me in 2 weeks on that show as the master of Tremendous Class.
Tremendous Class.
Tremendous Class.
The caretaker.
And you can hear Adam, more of Adam's voice as Jukano and the White Shadow.
The White Shadow, yeah.
And Franken.
Racist Frankenstein.
Racist Frankenstein. Frankenstein. All right, everybody. Tomorrow night, Jay Moore in here on Loveline, and then Joanna Angel, and then we'll see where we go after that. See you tomorrow night. Until then, stay well and good night.